In verse 1, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Let not your heart be troubled. Or the Amplified says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed and agitated." In the Good News Translation, it says, "Do not be worried and upset." Well, if Jesus is telling us not to, and not to, and not to, then we must be able to not to. Don't do it. Do not be troubled. Do not be worried. Do not be upset. And you say, "Well, preacher, how do you do that?" Well, I'm glad you asked me, because we're going to show you in the Word. Jesus shows us in the Word. Amen? Over in the 14th chapter, we're in the 14th chapter, over in the 25th verse, he gives us a gift. Don't you just love getting gifts? I do. Verse 25, "These things," Jesus is speaking here, "I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Has he sent him? You better believe he sent him. Have you received him? Have you been filled with him? He says he'll teach you all things. Well, it says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." So how do we get knowledge? It says the Holy Spirit's going to teach us all things. "He'll bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Verse 27, it's getting gooder. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Do you know Jesus always walked in peace? He had the peace of God in him, on him, through him, radiating out of him. That's why the multitudes flocked to him. He says, again, "Let not your heart be troubled." He's repeating what he said in verse 1. Let not. That means you have a part to play here. Let not. He didn't say, "I'll not let it happen." He said, "You don't let it happen. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid." Neither let it be afraid. Let's go over to, before we go to Colossians, let's just look at this again. He says, "Peace I leave with you." If you're taking notes, write this down. When you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. When you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. First words in any situation are crucial. They're critical to your going the direction of the words you speak. If you get upset, if you get agitated, if it really bothers you and you start speaking the problem, then the problem's going to get bigger. The problem's going to get bigger. God's going to seem far, far away. And you're all left all alone with your big, big problem. But when you speak God's word, the problem gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and you feel like you're right in the presence of God because you're speaking his word. One of the benefits of speaking his word is faith comes. When you feel faith rising up in you, you feel bigger than the devil, don't you? The devil seems smaller and you can speak to him. But when you speak the problem or the situation or that which would trouble you, Then that gets bigger. The mountain grows and grows and grows. And then Jesus had to write something in the Bible in Mark chapter 11 about having faith in God. And then you have to speak to the mountain. But do you know you can speak to it before it gets to be a mountain? It can be a little molehill. And you can speak to it and that thing can disappear. But all too often, what we say continually, day in, day out, makes the problem get bigger. You talk to somebody and say, "Well, how long has this been going on?" "Oh, about 17 years. It's just gotten so big." Or 17 days. That's too long. You've got work to do for the Lord. You don't have time to be having mountain problems always in your life. You've got things to do. And when you're facing that obstacle, you're no good to God. because you're focused on your problem. And if you're focused on your problem, you're not focused on your purpose. So when you lose your peace, you lose your ability to hear from God. That's why we're told over in Proverbs chapter 4. Well, let's just go over there. Some good wisdom here in the fourth chapter, starting in verse 20. By the way, I want to, I've titled tonight's message, A Stress-Free Life. You know, you can live a stress-free life. You can. But it's up to you to let not your heart be troubled. It's going to go one way or another. You're going to let the devil get bigger in your life and you're going to have a troubled life, or you're going to let God get bigger and your troubles are just going to melt away. So my son, verse 20, give attention to my words. This is key here. Give attention to his words. Incline your ear to his sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So somehow you've got to get God's words in your heart. You've got to get them there. He says, for they are life to those who find them. Find them implies you've got to do something about getting them. That comes down to you having ears to hear and the purpose. The purpose. Do you want to hear, or do you want to just be religious all your life and have nothing work for you? He says they're life to those that find them. They're even health to all their flesh. Sunday when we had healing service, somebody wrote this down on one of the balloons. Proverbs chapter 4, 20, 21, 22. I even go right to 23. 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Who's keeping your heart? You are. You are. We have things to do to keep the blessings of God operating in our life. It's not just automatic that everything works out. That's evident. Just look at all the Christians you know. We're not even talking about the world. We expect them to have problems. But why do we say Christians? Why do we see them going through agitation and troubled times and things that just get so mountainous in their life? I know Jesus said we'll have tribulation, but he didn't say stay there and tribulate. He said he'll lead you into triumph. So in the midst of your problems, you should be showing people you're going into triumph. I'm winning in this thing. It's dogging me today, but I win. I've got the victory. I'm more than a conqueror. See, you've got to start speaking what God says. He sees you as a victor. He sees you as a conqueror, more than a conqueror. He sees you triumphing. But if you're not being led by God, if you're not hearing the voice of God, if you let strife in, if you let agitation in, his voice gets smaller and smaller and fainter. And pretty soon it's like, God, where are you? I'm just here with my big problem. That's right. You've coined it your big problem. You've taken ownership of it, and it's yours. Don't sign for the package. You know, if UPS shows up at your door tomorrow, and it's got a great big box, and it's got skull bones and everything, and maybe snake, poisonous snakes in it, are you going to say, well, sure, bring it in my living room here. Let's put it right next to my bed. You don't have to sign for it. Wouldn't the enemy love to do that for you? Bring some poison in. Yeah, but you don't have to sign for the package. You have to keep your heart with all diligence. So here's the bottom line. Anything that's going on in your life, gauge it by this book here. Am I supposed to be having this going on in my life or not? Jesus said, I give you my peace. Well, if something's going on in your life and you don't have peace, then guess what? You got some work to do. You got to find out what's going on. Did you open the door? Or is it just, you know, you could have opened the door? Or maybe it could be just the enemy's coming against you? But look, a lot of things are not caused by the devil. They're caused by people with a lack of knowledge. If you're a born-again believer and you don't believe in healing, or you don't know that healing has been purchased for you, you'll live sick and you'll just see, oh, the devil's just beating me up. The devil's just beating me up. Yes, he is, but you're allowing it. And God will allow what you allow. Not every church believes that. Not every believer believes that. But God will allow what you will allow. He did. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Adam. He told that boy, don't you eat of that. But he allowed him to do it, didn't he? Because he gave us a free will. And he couldn't say, time out. We got to start over. I didn't expect him to make the wrong choice. He couldn't say, time out. Let's start again, because he was bound by his word. God's not going to violate his word. That's why you can count on his word. It will always work. You think he really wanted to spend 4,000 years watching people do what they did to get Jesus here? He had to do that because he had to get the authority back legally into a man, because he gave it to a man, Adam. Amen. So turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Again, we're talking about stress-free life. You can have a stress-free life. But I'm here to tell you, it's up to you. Do you want it? How serious are you about having a stress-free life? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Here's a little bit of wisdom here. A little bit of instruction. We're going to start in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Do you know you're the elect? Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Now, let's just stop there because there's more. But he says, put on. That means you have to put it on. You have to put it on. You have to choose to be kind. You can choose not to be kind, but you'll reap the consequences of not being kind. We're the earth remains, Genesis 8:22, we're under seed time and harvest. The seeds you sow, they're coming up in your life. I said they're coming up in your life. You're planting them. You want to plant seeds of unkindness, then you're going to have big ugly things come up sometime in your life. Don't be surprised when they show up, because you sowed for them. Okay, so here he's saying, put on tender mercies, put on kindness. So these are some things we can do to live a stress-free life. Put on meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another. You don't have to get agitated with one another. You don't have to cuss somebody out. You can choose not to. It's your choice, right? Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. But above all these things, put on love. Put on love. It comes back to love, which is the bond of perfection. I wrote in my Bible, right amidst all of this, practice these things. Practice these things. Intentionally do good to those that don't do good to you. Intentionally do that. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Notice it says you have to let the peace of God rule. So the Amplified, I think it says it, this way. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, let it act as an umpire. You've got to let the peace of God act as your umpire for your life. You know, the umpire's creed, you've all heard that. I call him as I see him, and if I don't see him, I make him up. No, we want to let the peace of God rule our lives. That is how you're going to know, that's how you're going to gauge whether or not you're hearing from the Spirit of God or not. If you're still full of anxiousness and anxiety and you're agitated, then something's not right. You can pray, but you want to pray, and you know, we pray in the Spirit. You want to pray until you get a breakthrough, or till you get a release, or till you get that peace. Just keep at it. And, you know, you don't have to pray for 14 days straight. God's not into, you know, making you wear holes in your pants because you're on your knees so long. No. He says, let his peace, let it rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and to be thankful. In the Passion, how many of y'all have the Passion version? A few of you do. Do you have it with you? All right, well, I'm going to read from Colossians. I like this. Colossians 3:15. Let your heart, again, let implies you have a choice here. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, which is Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. Do you know it's the anointing, according to Isaiah, I think it's 10:27, the anointing destroys the yokes and removes the burdens from your life. So you want the peace of the Christ, or the peace of the Anointed One, operating in your life. It will just remove burdens from you. It'll destroy yokes. A yoke, somebody was telling me not too long ago when they heard me mention yoke, it was somebody young in the Lord, and they thought we're talking about eggs, egg yolks. And the person explained to him, no, a yoke is something they put on two big oxen to put them together so that they can work. But when you have a big yoke, picture one of those big things around your neck, you know, probably weighs 150 pounds. You're not going to feel very good walking around all day with that thing. It's going to weigh you down, hold you down. Well, the anointing will destroy. See, that the yoke is a type of bondage. So the anointing, the power of God, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, resides inside of you. That will destroy yokes that Satan brings along in your life. It'll destroy them. It doesn't just break them, it destroys them. That means they can't be put back together. Amen? So let your heart always be guarded by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. See, there's another key right there. You want to live a stress-free life? Always be thankful. It gets gooder. Verse 16, let the word of Christ, the Anointed One, live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Let's read that again. Let the word of Christ, let God's word, let the word of God live in you richly. That sounds like you're going to be looking at the word more than just, you know, when the pastor says turn to. You know, how many people just open their Bibles when, you know, Sunday morning when the pastor says turn to? No, you want to open your Bible and you want to get to know this one. This is one of the ways you get to know the Lord. Is through his word. You get to know him. So let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. When you're flooded with all wisdom, you'll have answers to things that you won't if you don't. When you're flooded with the wisdom of God, you'll have answers to things that you don't if you don't, that you won't if you don't. If you don't get into the word, you're not going to get those answers. And people wonder, why isn't God talking to me? Well, why aren't you getting into his word? Why aren't you talking to him? Because he is talking to you. He's always transmitting. He's not just sitting up there silent. He's speaking to you by his spirit. I mean, the Father is in heaven, but Holy Spirit's inside of you. He's always guiding you and directing you. Are you listening? You know, if you don't pay attention to the police officer at the corner, you know, you might just go right through when he's telling you to stop. If you're not paying attention, and then things happen, right? Okay, 2 Peter. Let's go over to 2 Peter. Again, we're looking to live a stress-free life. I don't know about you, but I want to be free from all stress. And so, you know, I have the same temptation that anybody does to react one way or another when something bad happens or whatever. But I've trained myself or disciplined myself to not react and go off the deep end. You know, when you're a baby Christian, or, you know, when you're growing up, you know, teenagers, they're kind of famous for that. You know, everything is over exaggeration. But at some point in your life, you should begin to tone it down a little and know that it doesn't have to be this way, and that you can control your output. And the way you control your output is by controlling your input. What are you putting in you? What are you putting in you? Jesus said, it's coming out. So the one that's always flying off the handle, I know what they're putting in them. They're putting stress inside there. And it's like a short fuse. How many have ever seen somebody, know somebody that has a short fuse, you call it? The little thing sets them off. And kaboom! Don't have to be that way. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start right in verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, everybody that's born again has been given to them a measure of faith, and it's precious. But it's up to you what you're going to do with it. Are you going to grow your faith? Are you going to have great faith sometime? Or are you going to keep it down to where it looks like you have no faith? Well, anyway, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. So when you have the knowledge of God, grace and peace are going to be multiplied to you. In other words, you're going to find grace and peace in the Word. And when you get into the Word and study the Word and ask Holy Spirit to reveal the Word, grace, His unmerited favor, you can't earn it, you can't buy it. He just wants to give it to you. He wants to lavish it on you, and peace. He wants to lavish His peace. Over in John 14, we didn't continue reading, but He says, I give you peace, not such as the world has, I give you my peace. There's a difference between the peace in Jesus and the peace that the world calls peace. Usually they're talking about a peace. Jesus said, I'll give you my peace, and then you won't need a peace. Peace be still, right? Yeah, some of you have seen that. So grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus in the Word. Now, I wrote in my notes there, see the passion of that. So let's see what the passion brings out. 2 Peter. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Let the perfect peace cascade over you. I just saw like a waterfall, like in Tahiti, a nice waterfall, cascading over you as you live in the rich knowledge. See, it's not that we just read it to get head knowledge. We live in the knowledge of God. Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Are we allowing the mind of Christ to come out in our life? Let the perfect peace cascade over you. I like that. In Galatians 5 and 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. The peace of God. There's something about when you have the peace of God, there's going to be so many things just fall off, so many bad things fall off your life, and you're going to have a stress-free life. We've got to have the peace of God. Doesn't do any good to have lots of money if you have no peace. You need the peace of God operating in your life. In James chapter 3, let's just back up a little bit. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but chapter 3 talks about the tongue and how wicked it can be and how such a little member can boast great things and it can set on fire like a forest fire. It says no man can tame the tongue. It's full of unruly evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father. With it we curse men. He goes on to say, my brethren, these things should not be. Drop down to verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But, so here we're seeing a contrast. If you don't want peace in your life, if you don't want a stress-free life, then look what you can have. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by the good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above. See, the wisdom of God is the Word of God. We talked about finding the peace of God in the Word, richly in the Word. Well, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, which means willing to be corrected, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. And the harvest of righteousness, of conformity to God's will in thought and deed. That's really what righteousness is. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's God's way of doing things, God's way of thinking. How do we know what that is? He records it in his word. This is his word. This is the way he thinks. So he says, the fruit of the seed sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that peace which means concord, agreement, harmony. Notice where it is, between individuals, with undisturbedness, in a peaceful mind, free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. That's a mouthful there. But if you want God's peace, stay away from the strife. Strife is a faith killer. You allow strife into your life, and it's going to destroy your faith. Strife coming into your life is going to hinder you. It's going to stop prayer. It's going to stop you're praying and God, you know, why aren't you answering my prayers? Take a look. Go look in the mirror. Go look at you. You know, there was a song. It's probably a rock and roll song, I guess. But the words went something like this. Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself. That's just a secular song, but there's a lot of truth there. Instead of judging somebody else, judge yourself. Then you won't have to be judged. Take a look at yourself. What am I saying here? You can live a stress-free life if you just start by taking a checklist of your own life. Start right there. Is there anything that I'm doing to cause this stress to come? Just saying. We're so quick to say the devil did it. You know, remember, I'm Sammy Davis Jr., I guess. The devil made me do it. Well, you know, this. I think we put too much emphasis on the devil. I think if we would live according to the word of God, we wouldn't even have to talk about the devil. For ourselves, I'm talking. You realize he's still alive and well and, you know, running through the earth to and fro. He's still called the accuser of the brethren. He's still trying to dog you out in front of God. But every time he does, he gets all the way up there in his face and says, God, look what Bob did. God opens the book. He said, Bob. Oh, Bob, he's under the blood. Not guilty. Get out of here. What a waste of a life he had. I mean, what a stupid devil he was to just think he was going to exalt himself higher than God. Yeah, he found out what a left foot was all about. Strife. drops the shield of faith. It stops prayer results. Discord is deadly. Discord. In Proverbs chapter 6, that's one of the things that God hates. Don't allow discord. Don't allow people to get you involved in discord. If you wouldn't say it in front of the person, don't talk about that person. I've shared this before. I had some people come to me and they wanted to meet with me and they were upset. Okay, well, what's the problem? They wanted to talk about somebody. Hold on. I got my phone. I said, let me call that person and let him come in. That person jumped across the conference table, tried to grab my phone from me. I said, what's the matter? I said, if you want to talk about them, they should be here. Or we're not talking. And we didn't talk. Found out how silly. And then come find out it was just things they heard from somebody else and somebody else. They didn't even have any truth on the matter. Wanted to know. That person said, tell me what you know. I said, it's none of your business what I know. Who do you think you are? It was all gossip. And they wanted me to share what I knew about the situation. Oh, to add with the mistruths and the half-lies that they had so that they could go tell somebody else. By the end of the day, it had been on Facebook. Pastor says. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. I want to live with the peace of God in my life. I'm accountable for me. And I am accountable for you. Bible says I am. Says I'm going to be held to a higher accountability because I'm a teacher. I don't know how much higher. It says higher. So this, in other words, the things you can get away with, I can't. Maybe that's got something to do with why 90% of the preachers don't stay in the pulpit. They get found out. I was talking to somebody just recently, and it was about a pastor, and it's just like it. The pastor had been lying to two different groups, the one that ordained him, and it was a denominational thing. It's just like, and he's telling the people in the local church something different. Well, eventually it caught up with them. That was a blow up. It's like, no, that's not going to work, friend. All right, discord is going to paralyze the power of God in your life. I have a lot of people tell me, I want to see the power working. Well, then you got to get your life right. You're going to have to live a holy life. God's not going to trust you with the DNA, with the dynamite, the dunamis power of God, if you can't get things right in your own life. He is looking to see that you're faithful. Bible tells us that it's required. It's not just a suggestion. It's required of a steward that he be found faithful. So that's not just for the pastors. That's for everybody. It's required, not just a suggestion. Okay, John 16. I wrote passion again. Let's see what the passion says in John chapter 16. And in verse 33. Jesus replied, this is verse 31, I guess. Now you finally believe in me, and the time has come when you will all be scattered, and each one of you will go your own way, leaving me alone. Yet I'm never alone, for the Father is always with me. And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you. Everything. He said, everything that I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. See, you can have confidence amidst the war. Amidst the devil doing all that he's doing, amidst whatever's going on in the country, in the city, in the neighborhood, you can have confidence in the peace of God. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous. See, in the King James, it says, in this world, you'll have tribulation. The Passion says it nicer. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows. Experience it, I guess so. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. If you're in him, then you've conquered the world. That gives you confidence. You don't have to let the devil beat your brains out. Use your brains. Use your brains for more than a hat rack. All right. Come on. John 14. Let's back up a couple pages. Verse 26. But when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free. The Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free. If you're free, you're living stress-free. He will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Here's, I quoted this earlier. Not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. He will inspire you to remember everything Jesus said. He will inspire you to remember his word. Holy Spirit authored the word. I mean, they work together. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. But he's inside of you, and he'll bring to remembrance what you need to remember. Amen? All right, we're almost done. Stress-free life. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, verse 222. This is a 222 scripture. We're not going to read it all, but read chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. It's talking about approved and disapproved workers. It's talking about some will be for honor and some for dishonor. And he says, therefore, verse 21, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, for those things that are not honorable, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. So this is instruction. Flee those things. Put them away. But pursue righteousness. So we've got to pursue righteousness. You've got to go after it. You've got to go after doing things God's way. They don't just automatically happen. Most people don't wake up in the morning and everything automatically just goes God's way. You've got to remind yourself. Paul wrote to Timothy many times, or at least several times that it was recorded, probably many times, said, stir yourself up. You stir yourself up. You've got the goods in you, now stir it up. You know, you women that are making a cake or something, you got all the ingredients in there. Well, you don't just leave them in the eggs and the flour and the salt and everything. You don't just slide that bowl in the oven. No, you got to stir it up. You got to mix it all up. Well, you got to do that in your life every day with the Word of God. You got to stir it up. Stir it up to remembrance. Stir it up to remember who you are in Christ. You got to remind yourself of how God sees you. He sees you a victor. He sees you more than a conqueror. He doesn't see you down and out and defeated. So don't you see yourself that way. See yourself winning all the time. Okay, so pursue righteousness, pursue faith. How are you going to pursue faith? By hearing the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're going to have to pursue the word in order to pursue faith. Faith isn't something you muster up. Faith is something that it's a spiritual force that comes from the word. You can't pray for faith. Remember when the disciples asked Jesus, give us more faith. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you would say. So what's he teaching them? You've already got the faith you need. You got to start using the faith you have. You got the faith. Start using it. Don't get faith fat. Just stay in the word, stay in the word, stay in the word. You got to use your faith. Use it like a mechanic would use a wrench or a tool to do something. Use your faith to get things done in the realm of the kingdom of God. That's how we operate in God's kingdom. We use faith like a mechanic would use a wrench. Come on, that was good preaching right there. All right, so pursue faith, pursue love, pursue, go after peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And then he goes on to say the things that you want to avoid. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. We shouldn't waste our time arguing with people. Don't argue with people about the Word of God. If they can't see it, it's not for them right at that moment. You're not going to force them to see it. You know, pray for them. Just say, you know what, brother, you know what, sister, you know, I'll just pray for you. Or don't even say that. Say, you know what, I'll be thinking of you. And then pray for them. But don't get into ignorant. He calls them ignorant and foolish. Why? Knowing that they generate strife. Generating strife is not the way to have a stress-free life. You don't want to generate strife. So stay away from arguments. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and be patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Humility means you humble yourself. You're not the know-it-all. You're not the know-it-all. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they might come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So avoid those things. Avoid strife if you want to live the stress-free life. I didn't think I asked how many want to live the stress-free life. I guess I should have started before I even started the message. If nobody wanted it, we could have just gone on something else. But I think it's important that we learn how to live the stress-free life. All right, last scripture we're going to look at is in Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to let you go. I've given you some nuggets here. For those of you that are taking notes, I will, before we get to Matthew 11, just jot these down because these are some peace scriptures and some stress-free scriptures that I found. I have them in my heart so that I can speak them out and get the results of them. Psalm 34:14, Ephesians 2:14. That one says he himself is our peace. Philippians 4, you all know this one, verses 4 through 9. Philippians chapter 4. All right, Mark chapter 4, it's a story when they were in the boat and Jesus is sleeping. He's resting. He's peaceful. They're all agitated. Because why? Because the storm came up. The wind's messing their hair and the waves are coming over the boat and it looked like they were going to go under. These are professional fishermen, been out on the sea in all kinds of weather, and they were scaredy, thinking they were going to die. They go wake him up. He gets up and he does what? He rebukes the storm. Speak to your storm. Come on. All right, Matthew 11. Matthew 11, and we're going to start in verse 27. All things, this is Jesus speaking, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Okay? So if you're born again, then that's you. He wills to reveal the Father. But outside of that, nobody can know God. Okay? Verse 28, Jesus is speaking here. He says, come to me. Again, that's an action. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden. Oh, that doesn't sound good. Laboring and heavy laden. He says, come to me, all of you who are not having a good hair day, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That right there is a picture of the kingdom. That's where we're supposed to be living. I just want to highlight these five things that I see right in that passage. Number one, he says, come. You've got to come to him. You've got to find him. Find him in the Word. Okay? Find him in your prayer closet. But you're going to have to come. He said, the next thing he says, when you come to him, what will he do? He says, he'll give you rest. So if you want rest, go to him. If you want to stay agitated and stay, you know, without a stress-free life, then don't go to him. If you want to get rid of that, come to him. So you have to come. He'll give you rest. In the Passion Translation, it says, he will refresh you. He will refresh you. All right, number 3, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. So you have to do something here, another instruction. You take the yoke of Jesus. If you picture oxen, you know, with the yoke, the two oxen, they're now hooked together and they're going to do work. Picture you hooked up, yoked up to Jesus. He's helping you. He's the one that knows everything. He's the one that knows tomorrow. He's the one that gets your answer. He knows what's going on with your kids. He knows what's going on with your job. He knows what's going on next year. Hook yourself up to him. Come to him. Rest in him knowing he knows. See, you only got to have one person. You know, when we started the building project, the Labor of Love project, it's like, there's so much stuff I don't know how to do. But what I do know how to do is find somebody that can figure it out. It's like, I don't have a clue what to do here. Connie, you know how to do that? Oh, then I give it to you. And everybody does their part, and it all works out. I think it was Henry Ford. He only went up to sixth grade, never even graduated out of sixth grade. And look at Ford Motor Company. Isn't it interesting? They didn't need a bailout, and they're still going strong today. But there were people that were coming against him and were trying to sue him and whatnot. And he was getting hauled into court. And he'd go with his attorneys, because he don't even understand. How many here understand lawyer talk? None of us do. It's designed that way. So he'd go in with them, and they'd put him on the stand and try to make him look stupid. And he'd just say, well, no, I don't have a clue about this. He says, but this guy over here does. He's the one that I got to do this. And he went through one by one by, you know, all through these people. And he didn't know much, but he had all these people in place that knew. And continuously he would just make those lawyers look like idiots that were trying to come against him. Because he didn't have to know in his own mind how to do everything. See, you don't have to wait until you've got it all figured out before you start walking with God. I guarantee you that isn't how it works. It's you take a step of faith and then he shows you something. Are you willing? You have to say yes before he'll show you. You don't say, well, God, show me what it all looks like and then I'll decide whether I will or not. That isn't how it works with God. Are you willing? If you're willing, then now we'll go to the next step. But you know, his grace is sufficient for you. His unlimited, it's so you can't even figure out how big he is, and he's got all the answers for you. So just say yes. Okay, so we come, we rest, we take his yoke upon you. Learn. We learn from him. We learn from him. Come, rest, take, learn, and then we rest again. Isn't that cool that there's resting twice in there? You're coming, you're resting, you're taking, you're learning, you're resting again. And I'm just going to read that in the Passion, then we're going to be done. In, find it here. New Bible, so it doesn't open like my other one. That one just would have been there already. Matthew 11. Are you weary carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. See, when I pictured that cascading waterfall, I was picturing a really, really, really nice place. And Jesus is saying, I'll refresh your life. Some of you need refreshing. I do. I'm your oasis. simply join your life with mine. You know, that's more than getting born again. You can get born again in accepting your salvation, but not joining your life to him. Big difference. Big difference. If you want that oasis, you need to join. And I love how he says it here. Simply join. It's not hard. Just simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways and you'll discover that I'm gentle. You'll discover that I'm humble and easy to please. Jesus isn't hard to please. Says he's easy. He's gentle. He says you will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. That's good news. That's good news for the world that thinks God's a hard God, thinks he's mad at him, thinks he's just judging everybody and wants to send everybody to hell. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. God's not willing that one would go to hell. People just have gotten misinformed. And that's why people's lives are destroyed for a lack of knowledge of who God really is. But you and I have the inside scoop here. We know who God is. And we need to start, I know you do, but we need to continue to allow the goodness of God be reflected through our lives. And we need to continue to let the world see a good God by our actions every day, by what we say every day. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if good stuff's coming out of you, we know what's in you. Anyway, that's all I have for tonight. I'm glad you came. I guess we could receive the offering now if anybody needs an envelope. And I don't know about you, but that helped me. I was preaching to me because I want a stress-free life.